We have not because we ask not. I'd rather ask and not get what I want than not to have asked at all. How would you know? God wants to give you many things that you have no idea. We have access to all kinds of things. Heaven has all kinds of things for us. We need to access those. He made them available for you. What's the worst thing that could happen? God say no? And if God says no, he has a reason. He has a good reason. And you can still trust him. No matter what the outcome, you can always trust him. Because he has your good in mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know, Lord, I want to just talk about things that your people have gone through or are dealing with. And you know, I know how important it is to be accurate and always be able to share about it in such a time that these that are here today know that you know about things. And I know how exciting it is when you talk about things in my life that I didn't think you really cared about. But I found out that you care about everything in my life. And I know that you do about everybody here. And help them to feel your presence and your love in a special way today. In Jesus' name we pray. How do you respond when somebody insults you or makes fun of you? Who rejects you or hurts you or wrongs you in some way? How do you respond? Do you like it? Not really. Do you get angry? You know, I've shared about one of my instances when we were visiting my son and they broke into his car and took my wife's purse. I guess you found out how I responded. Not very well. I didn't do real good with that. And I had to talk to the Lord about it. Like many, we immediately want to retaliate in some way. After all, what happened wasn't right. It was just clearly not right. It was unjust. And those involved should be held accountable. And they should be made to suffer the pain that they caused me. Isn't that how we think? Or maybe some of us just stuff it, the hurt deep inside of our soul. We only find out that only works for a while because it keeps popping out. We keep reliving it. Much like when you're trying to get some sleep, much needed sleep, you're tired and you ever have one of those nights that just wow, it just keeps going on and on and on, and you can't quite seem to get your sleep. Like a camera that just plays over and over in your mind things that just tend to keep you awake and annoyed. Ever have that experience? It goes over and over and over and over in your mind. Your mind keeps reliving it. It keeps reliving the day it happened. The injustice and the pain it caused you. And you hope that you can eventually forget about it. But I can tell you that this suppressed resentment doesn't disappear. Instead, it festers. It disturbs your peace. It'll disturb your rest. It will also affect your relationships with others. Now, we know what the Bible tells us to do. We're to forgive one another. But yet we still resist. Because forgiveness seems to let the wrongdoer get away with the offense, doesn't it? It seems like, well, if we forgive, that's fine, but he still needs to pay for what he did. Where's the justice in just forgiving? What we need to realize today is that nothing, absolutely nothing, gets past our all-knowing Lord. Nothing. He is a better accountant than anybody you'll ever meet. I remember hearing about an old preacher many years ago. His name was Jack Coe. Anybody ever hear that name? An old-time evangelist. His name was Jack Coe. And he had a message that he preached. He was an evangelist. He traveled all over the United States. And his message was, there's a payday coming for everything you said and done. That was the title of his message. There is a payday coming for everything you said and done. God keeps tracks. He sees the wrongs of this world. And he says, never take your own revenge. Vengeance is mine, and I will repay. Whew. Well, Lord, I just want 5 minutes with him. Can you just give me 5 minutes with him? Then you can sort it out. That's not the way it works. No, that's not the way it works. Romans 12:19. Now I put some markers in my Bible because I want to read that. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, as Christians, we got to understand that we have been forgiven much. There's lots of things in our lives that our Lord has forgiven us of. Aren't you glad? Or maybe you don't make mistakes. Maybe you don't make wrong choices. Maybe you do everything right. Maybe you're not like those that wronged you. Maybe you've never wronged anybody. Maybe you never said anything that hurt anybody's feelings. Maybe you're just Miss Goody Two Shoes or Mr. Goody Two Shoes. I don't think so. We certainly, who have been forgiven much, have no right to hold anything against anybody else, do we? How can we as Christians, we have received so much from the Lord, such generous mercy, how can we demand that of others? And we want to give what's coming to them. No, they deserve it too. Peter asked the Lord how often he should forgive his brother. Jesus told him 70 times 7. Now, I know you know the answer to that. It's not a mathematical answer. In case you were doing some calculating, that's not a mathematical answer. The answer that Jesus was looking for was what? Always. Always? In everything? You got to be kidding. You're not. Yeah, I'm sure that's what Peter thought. I'm sure when he said that, Peter thought, really? All things? You don't know what he did to me. You have a minute. Oh, yeah, I do know. We always want to tell just what he did, what he did. He was bad. I don't think you should extend forgiveness to him. I think you should make them pay. Oh, the Lord says, I will. Vengeance is mine, and I'll take care of it. We have to understand some real seriousness about this issue of forgiveness. The first one, that if you're making notes, is we have to understand the nature of unforgiveness. The nature of unforgiveness. It is an ungodly attitude, and it certainly doesn't fit in a believer's life. Christ died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. And as followers, we're commanded to forgive as he did in Ephesians chapter 4. I've made some markers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. How about that? As Christ has forgiven you, you're to forgive one another. The second thing is the consequences. There's quite a few consequences when we refuse to forgive somebody. The first thing it does, it gives Satan a foothold into our lives. And so he is able to stir up anger and bitterness. In Ephesians chapter 4, 26 and 27, it says, be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. Isn't that what I said? It gives a foothold to the devil. It sends a signal in hell that here's a fella, here's a woman you can use. The root of bitterness reaches deep into our thoughts, into our attitudes, into our emotions. It causes us to become bitter. A bitter spirit will come out in our words and in our action, and it'll cause trouble, not only for us, but everybody that we get in contact with. It'll affect our relationships more than what you have any idea. Boy, if I were to ask anybody here, has any of you ever been wronged in any way? Has anybody ever borrowed anything from you and they brought it back broken or empty or maybe both? You know, I hate to borrow things, but if I do borrow it and there's a place to put gas in it, you really ought to have enough sense to fill it up when you return it. Do I hear an amen? And even if it's really dirty sometimes, I'll even take the time and clean it for them. Because that's how much I appreciate being able to use it. And I can assure you of this, that if it breaks when I use it, which sometimes happens, I will go buy them a new one. That's the proper way to return it. Do I hear another amen? That's really what Christians are about. We're loving and caring. And that's what we should do. I know the world does different things, but we should act differently because we are Christians. Unforgiveness damages our fellowship with God. The Lord gave us a very serious warning about this. If you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you. It's that simple. You want your Heavenly Father to forgive you, then forgive others. I know it's hard, but you have to. And you know what? Whenever I have a hard time thinking about forgiving somebody when they did something wrong to me, all I got to do is think about, do you think I'll be doing some more wrong things before the Lord calls me home? Yeah. Yeah, I will. I may not want to, but I will. I will be doing some bad things and wrong things. And do you think I want my Heavenly Father to forgive me? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And if I want that to be sure, then I need to do my part. I need to forgive others. Forgive them. If they don't forgive you, that goes home with them. But you do your part. You forgive them. you do your part and forgive them. It doesn't mean that we would lose our salvation if we didn't practice forgiveness. But I can tell you this, it'll certainly create a barrier in our fellowship with the Lord. But if we can't forgive others, pretty simple, our Heavenly Father won't forgive you. You see, we can't be right with God and be at odds with somebody else. See, that just doesn't work. In the Gospels of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you can read that there. You can't say you love God and hate others. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. For the love of God's not in you, if that's how you feel. If you have a refusal to forgive, it stuns your spiritual growth. Do you know what else it does? It perverts your understanding of the word. Your word becomes limited. Do you know anybody that is harboring unforgiveness towards you? Sometimes they like to think that they're better than you are. After all, you're a Christian and you go to church, and they think they're just as good as you are without going to church. And so sometimes they'll try to quote scripture. That's a joke. Somebody not going to church, not somebody not serving the Lord, trying to quote scripture. When they do quote, it's always perverted. It's always twisted. If they're going to quote you a verse, they'll tell you that that money is the root of all evil. What part of that's wrong? I just misquoted it. What's the real quote? The love of money is the root of all evil. You see how easy it can be misquoted? The world will do that. They'll misquote it because they're trying to intimidate you. They're trying to make you feel like they're better than you. After all, you're a churchgoer. I don't need to go to church to be good. Well, goodness isn't going to get you to heaven, dear or man. There'll be a lot of good people going to hell, because if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be going to hell. It's that simple. Thirdly, we need to work through the process of forgiveness. We need to acknowledge that unforgiveness is sin. We need to assume the responsibility instead of, like our Sunday school lesson was, trying to shift the blame to somebody else. Or maybe put all the blame on the one who hurt us. They're the ones that should suffer. And then we need to have confession in our life and repentance. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us the right of fellowship and help us to regain that fellowship that was lost through our wrong choices. Ask the Holy Spirit to enable us to give up our right to retaliate. And we need to lay down the hurt and the bitterness that we feel through it. We need to learn to lay it down. Lay it down. Give it to the Lord. Cast all your cares upon Him. Our prayers can become ineffective if you harbor bitterness. Did I tell you about that? Your prayers can be affected by unforgiveness. Do you want to have effective prayers? You need to ask God to forgive you and forgive others so that your prayers aren't hindered. If you harbor unforgiveness, your worship is empty. You can't come in here and put your hands up and say, Lord, I love you and I just worship you and praise you and have aught against somebody else. I hurt somebody else. I said some nasty things this week to somebody and I hurt their feelings. And when I get to the house of God, I put my Christian smiley face on and in here make everybody think that I'm just Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. I think about the message, and the message just came to me about Judas, the man with two hats. That was the way Judas did. He was a man of two hats. When he was around Christian people, he had his good hat on. When he was around the world, he put his worldly hat on. He tried to get it. He tried to have it both ways. Doesn't work that way. Bitter and sweet water don't flow out of the same fountain. doesn't work that way. You know, if you have bitterness, you'll have a tendency to hold grudges. Well, I want to follow Jesus, but I want to still hold on to my grudge. No, that's not going to work. What did Jesus say in Luke 6, chapter 6, verse 28? Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. You see, when you reach a point in your life where you're able to pray for those who hurt you, that shows some real good signs of spiritual growth. You're really maturing. You're growing. When you can pray for those who hurt you, you're growing. You're growing in the Lord. And you know what? Eventually, God will take that grudge that you want to hold away from you. And then you'll be free. It'll be those that didn't make it right that won't be free. But you can be free. And that you need to really think about. You want to be free? Do you want to have the peace that passes all understanding? That's how you can have it. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. It'll be amazing how your attitude will change when you begin to bless and pray for those who had hurt you. When you lift them to the throne of God, that sting of hurt will be lifted by His grace. I think of the singer that said something about, you can talk about me all you want, but I will talk about you on my knees. Talk about me all you want, but I'll talk about you on my knees. I'll talk to Jesus about you. I'll pray for you. The Lord can transform our hearts. Instead of wishing evil on people, we would desire good for them. Boy, that's tough when they wronged you. But that's what Jesus said we must do. And as God works in our hearts, we'll be able to see the signs of forgiveness in our lives. And like Joseph, we will recognize that although others may have meant evil against us, he said that in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. I did mark that. I'd like to read it for you. That's the last chapter of the book of Genesis. That Joseph, in verse 18, says, his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Wow. When he was going through it, I'm sure he didn't quite feel that way. But looking back, he could realize that God was in it. And God meant good to come out of it. His sovereign hand works through all the times of our mistreatments to give us something that we would never be able to achieve otherwise. He gives us a forgiving spirit, which is pleasing to him. And that rush of harsh feelings will disappear as we begin to pray for those who offended us. And we'll be able to soon be able to see with the eyes of mercy. Wow. The key to forgiveness is what Emily sang about. Trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. He knows all your pains. He knows all of your injustices that you have experienced. And He will use them to shape you into His image of His beloved Son. If you'll be willing to surrender to Him, and He will be able to begin the process of healing in your life. I can tell you that God's grace is strong enough to break the bonds of unforgiveness. When we remember how much He has forgiven you, Lay your hurts and your grudges at his feet and trust him to handle. And you'll be able to be set free and be able to live in peace. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to take a communion here in just a few minutes. Say, Brother Roger, I believe that message is for me today. Slip your hand up. I'm going to pray with you. Boy, there's hands going up everywhere. I'll put mine up too. Wow. I think they've all been put up. All right. I want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, this message has spoke to them. I know it spoke to me. And Lord, you know I needed help in this area. And I want to thank you for helping me. I don't know for sure if I made it all the way through. Only you know. I want you to continue to be with me, Lord, and help me get through it. Lord, I don't want to have any unforgiveness against anyone because I want you to forgive me because I know there'll be things that I need your forgiveness. So, Lord, these hands that went up, Lord, I want you to see that every one of these hands as I know you did. And I want you, Lord, to help them to work through their forgiveness as well. Obviously, there's been things that somebody's done to them and hurt them. And it's hard sometimes, and it hurts. And I ask you, Lord, to help them to work through it. Help them, Lord, to say, well, I'm going to try. I'll try to get through this. I'll try to get rid of this. Maybe it was something that happened in their life many, many years ago, and it's turned to bitterness. We ask you, Lord, to remove this root of bitterness right now in Jesus' name. Get rid of this root of bitterness in Jesus' name. Right now, get rid of it. Help them through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.